It's a great day today. I got a few things I feel really passionate about sharing as far as praying, and I love what Alfonso was sharing beforehand, which was pretty fantastic. Is, you know, how I would word what he said was, it's the Holy Spirit that empowers, inspires, pushes, nudges us to pray in the name of Jesus to get to God the Father. That's pretty cool stuff. I mean, it's like I like how you said it. It's God on display, all of God, the Trinity, the fullness of God on display in the midst of us just coming to Him with everything and all things. Amen. So when we talk about prayer, and I don't know about you, there's a lot of subjects in the Bible, or maybe even subject matters that a pastor, preacher would get up and talk about. Does prayer excite you to talk about it? Does it? I'm not asking to be honest a little bit. It does me, and I do recognize though that I'm going to be really honest and very straightforward with you guys, and I hope you would want me to be, right? Yeah. You know, I don't want. You know, you have somebody get the conversation, you get in a conversation, someone says, hey, well, to be honest with you, it's like, well, I hope you are every time you speak to me, but I guess if you're going to have to prelude it with, to be honest, then maybe if you don't say that, maybe I should think you're lying to me. No, I'm not, and you know that this is a fellowship that we encourage input, and I want to hear your thoughts, and I'll make an attempt to answer your questions. And if Blake's in the room, if I can't answer him, he can. So that's always good to have Blake and his mom, Robin, in the room, because there's some good stuff here. I've asked the Holy Spirit to whether or not to share this a word that I feel like, and I heard the word coming in the midst of another message, and as this message didn't say these words, the Holy Spirit said these words to me. Does that ever happen to you? I hope so. You guys know that's my prayer, is that not only do the words that come out of my mouth be inspired and be of God, but even more so, my prayer is that the words that go into your ears be of God. In other words, that the Holy Spirit would speak into your heart, into your ears, into your mind, way more than the words that just come out of my mouth. Does that make sense? So in that prayer for you, I also pray that prayer for me. And as I'm listening to different messages and different thoughts or reading the Bible, I always listening to what the Holy Spirit might say that is like I'm not going to say it adds to it, but it magnifies the word, or it actually embellishes it to where it's like, wow, that now it comes to life in a whole nother manner or fashion. Does that ever happen to any of you? I hope so. You guys with me this morning, right? Good. Well, then get started, Eric. Okay, I will. Let's go. The word is this, and I think it's appropriate and perfect for this message today. Because I'm going to talk about the Lord's Prayer, the disciples' prayer, basically the prayer that Jesus said, or the model prayer in Matthew chapter 6. But the word is this, because as I looked into this prayer intensely, and not only through a lens that would be like a wide-angle lens, but also in what's the other lens? If you're not going wide angle, you're going, I don't know. Any camera people? Zoom in to my heart, but also wide angle to the world. Wide angle world, zoom into my heart. How about that? There you go. Obviously, I prepared for that little line. But here's the word, and I want you to hear this really clearly before I start this message, because it's a word that's a part of this, and it's this: is God is amping up even to multiply that which He's doing in the world today. In other words, He is moving to multiply that which He is doing. Okay, I need you to stay with me. Come with me, Nancy, Terry. Okay. That's okay. That's okay. You know, this is how we roll. If you're sitting in the back, you would have got away with it, but that's all right. I know. But you weren't hearing what I was saying. You were hearing what she was saying, and not, anyway. Now I have to say it again. You know, that's always the rule, right? If you're talking while somebody else is talking, you're distracting at least five people around you. That's okay. You're forgiven. And let's move on. Let's go. I'll say it again. Here's what we're saying. Here's what the Holy Spirit's saying. God is amping up, revving up, multiplying that which He is doing in the world. I'm not going to say, oh, wow, it's, you know, secret revelation. It's all you have to do is kind of open your eyes and see that the way and at the fashion and at the motion and even at the speed in which stuff is happening in the world, God isn't just like idly sitting by saying, oh, man, the world's spinning a lot faster now. What do I do? You know, He's a part of it. Not just a part of it. He is it. And so much so that when I say this, I'm going to use a term that I feel like the Holy Spirit gave me, and it's in the realm of multiplication. And for some reason, it's the number seven. Seven times. And when I say that, it's like, well, I tried to ask the Lord, it's like, that's kind of weird. And he said, well, there's biblical evidence to that term and that number. Seven times. And here's what I heard him say is the eyes of the Lord, my eyes are searching to and fro, seeking to whom he may impart his strength, his wisdom, his blessings into those whose hearts are sold out, given to God. And he's willing to, and he's wanting to do it seven times more than he's ever done it before. Yeah, I'm ready. I know, so am I. But here, I need you to hear this. He's also, it's the opposite is also true. And I say this with a lot of just, not just hurt in my heart, but a heaviness in my soul, is those who are not sold, who are not given, it will be seven times more difficult and tragic. And the trials will be that which will be... And here, it's in Matthew 13. And remember, there's a story that Jesus tells. He tells about, in fact, he was called on this little... he was called on the carpet for something, which was kind of interesting. I don't know. You look back and you're like, what were people thinking, that the Pharisees, by calling Jesus on the carpet of what the stuff that, and basically they accused him of casting out a demon by the power of Beelzebul. In other words, casting out a demon by the devil's power. And he says, that's just ridiculous. It's ludicrous. It's like, that's not even a possibility. That's not even a thing. If he could say it in a way, he'd say, that's just stupid, guys. But that's how he said it. It's like, no one goes into a strong man's house without first tearing down the strong man. And the strong man wouldn't tear down his own house. So that's just ridiculous. And then he goes on to say, he says, if a demon or a devil is cast out of a person, and that person does not fill that place, that void, with that which is supposed to be there, in other words, God, if God does not take that place in which, in that person's heart and soul, that demon will not only go out, but he will be removed, but then he'll come back and see that the place is empty still. There's no filling. There's nothing there. It's void of that which is supposed to be there. And what does he do? He goes and he finds, this is Jesus talking about spiritual dynamics. I think Jesus gets it. He knows what's going on. If Jesus is going to talk about that which is happening in the spiritual, Jesus knows, right? Amen? Can I get an amen on that one? Because that's really real. I know a lot of people don't think that way, but I'm going to tell you, I believe everybody here does, that Jesus knows what's going on. Amen. Right? And so he says that this, when this demon goes and he sees it's clean, what he does is he goes and he finds seven more that are even worse than him. Did you hear that? It's like he's saying, well, maybe just a little demon of lust goes out, and it's like, well, okay, He goes out and finds a demon of murder. He goes out and finds a demon of, gosh, I can't name seven of them. Seven bad ones, okay? Really bad ones. And then they camp out and they make themselves at home right there. And then he makes this statement that, and I don't know the exact, it's in Matthew 13, towards the end. I think it's probably like in, I don't remember exactly what verse. He makes a statement. He says, to this generation that seeks signs, this is what will happen. And it's like, oh. It hit me really hard because I was hearing God say, it's this generation that this will take place in. And I think we're in that generation. That's what I hear the Holy Spirit saying. We're in the end times generation, and this matters. So why am I talking about prayer this morning in regards to this? Simply because this. Prayer is that place. It's that intimate connection, relationship with God. It's the place where all things start. It's where a place where God takes, and he actually inspires. Isn't this a neat thing? I'm going to tell you this. God actually will inspire you, compel you to pray, his kingdom come, his will be done. God, I would say, could we say God needs you to accomplish his will? I probably can't say that, right? But God, does God prefer and choose to use you to accomplish his will? Absolutely. Absolutely, we know that. So I'm going to read this passage of Scripture, and then we're going to kind of like dissect it. I think go wide and go zoom in and see what happens, and see if the Lord inspires you to even pray in a deeper fashion in these times that you're living in, that we are living in together right now. Amen? Water is good. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, and starting in verse 9, I'm going to go through till 13, and this is in the ESV version. It says, pray then like this. It says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as trespasses, sins. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And some translations will say, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So in Jesus saying, pray like this, or pray then like this, I love that Jesus is giving us some amazing insight into what I was referred to earlier, an intimate relationship with God the Father. Jesus is giving us clues into an intimate relationship with God the Father. We ought to be paying attention. And here's I think, the when I looked at this prayer even intently, I was like, okay, this is... Gosh, there's books written about this prayer, entire books about every little subject of this prayer. Like, how can I speak on this in just a matter of like 30 to 40 minutes? I can't. So I'm just going to share some stuff that I feel like the Lord wants us to hear. But, as much as, listen to this, as much as communion, connection, honesty, transparency, intimacy, it makes up a healthy relationship, right? You would say that. A healthy relationship is going to have people that are upfront. We're going to, if I want a healthy relationship with my wife, with God, with you, it requires something on my end and your end for us to be honest with each other, for us to commune together, for us to fellowship with each other, for us to speak with each other, listen to each other. Correct? It requires that to have a relationship that's healthy in any shape or fashion, whether it's your husband, wife, son, daughter, God, brother, sister, boss, whoever it is, it requires these things to take place, correct? This isn't a no-brainer. I mean, it's not that difficult. But Here's the thing. As I looked at again at Jesus' model prayer, I looked through this lens that allowed me to see something a little bit differently. Is that Jesus was actually, that's the stuff that's obvious. The intimacy, the connection, the communion. But there's something else happening here through this prayer. And this is how I'm going to, this is how I believe we're going to filter it today. Or it's going to be filtered through this lens, if you will. Is Jesus is praying a prayer for us to ask God, to go to God, to help us. To help us remove all the stuff, the things that get in the way of a healthy relationship with God and man. Do you hear that? So when I look at it through that filter, through that lens, because that's how Jesus, I believe that's a big part of what Jesus is encouraging us to pray, is to get rid of all the stuff that just gets in the way. How many of your relationships, let's just relax a minute, okay? This requires you to just relax, sit back and say, how many of my relationships that have, let's say, gone south, sideways? Maybe they've gone sideways. How many of us can be honest and say, well, there was something that got in the way, a misunderstanding, an offense, something that, you know, have you had a really good relationship with somebody and it just went sideways? And all of us, yes. Something got in the way of a healthy relationship, correct? Do you think that can happen with God? Absolutely, it can happen with God. So this is why Jesus is giving us this model prayer to say, this is how you should pray. This then is how you should pray. There's all this stuff that gets in the way. Get it right. Get it correct. Get it straight. Remove the stuff that isn't supposed to be a part of a healthy relationship, and you'll find yourself moving in a healthy relationship with God and man. I mean, I know this, that just seems so simple to me. And yet it's so challenging, right? You guys with me? So let's talk. There's like six things. I tried to narrow it down to three, but I couldn't, so we had to go with six. The name of God. He starts out, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Holy is his name." God's name is holy. There's a lot of places in the Bible that, you know, I think refer to the name of God, and we may say God has lots of different names. Well, God isn't different. He's not a different person in different situations, different circumstances, but his name meets every situation. So what would be the name of God that fits most for every situation? Moses on the mountain. Who do I say you are? I am. God is the I am. To me, that's so awesome, and that became such a deep part of an intimate part of my of knowing who God is. God is I am. You're like, well, that doesn't make any sense. Yeah, because our English language just messes it all up. It screws it all up. But what it really is saying is God is the all in all. He is the I am. He is everything. So much so that, you know, Robin and I, we had a really neat conversation this week. We were talking about just that very thing. And she was sharing with me how the I am God, to her, so much of the time is the friend of God. I am God's friend. God is my friend. And I like that, and I'm like, oh, that's so rich, that's so real, that's so deep. It's like, yes. And then as she was sharing and we were talking, I was like, and I realized God, the I am in my life is my Father. And it's at a different level, and that, you know, because I missed a father in my life, my growing up, my childhood, and all through my life, when God spoke and God came to me, He was the I Am, but it was in the name of a Father. And so when that intimate place, like any song that I worship in that refers to God as my Father, I'm melted. I'm a done in. I'm in the Holy Spirit, because that's where the I Am is I Am to me. Does that make sense? And that's why I believe that that's so rich and so cool and so awesome of God and holy of His name, is that He is the I Am to every single one of us right where you're at, and He'll be your I Am all through your life. When you need Him as a father, He'll be your father. When you need Him as a friend, He'll be your friend. When you need Him as a provider, He'll be your provider. When you need Him as a healer, guess what He'll be? A healer. Amen. Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. See? And that's rich, and that's deep, and that's real, and that's right. Amen? I love that. Thank you, Mom, for sharing that He is your husband. That's awesome. It's holy. His name is holy, honored, and reverend, and esteemed, treasured above all things and above every name. His name needs to take first place in my heart. And I believe that God is He pays attention to our language and how holy we place His name. This is a little place and a little spot that I'm going to ask you and challenge you to give God permission. Give God the permission to be the I Am in your life. It's a part of the prayer that it says, "Holy is your name." I believe it's a deep place that they say, "God, you have permission to be I Am in my life. Be the everything in my life." And I think that requires us, though, to say, "Yes, God, I give you that permission. I give you that place. Be the I Am in my life." And I watch. I challenge you to see how intimate God gets with you. You will see it. It's awesome when God touches you, speaks to you, shows up in your life, and you see God in such a deep way that you're like, "Wow. God, you are this, you are that, you are everything. You are right what I need, right when I need it." Amen? Amen. And then He says, "Your kingdom come, your kingdom come." Oh, this is a great place to just even talk about the kingdom mindset. You know, I'm reminded of Jesus when He was 12, and his parents lost Him for like 3 days. I don't know, how do you lose a kid for 3 days? A 12-year-old at that. It speaks to a couple things. Is the reality that community was real back then? It's like traveling around, you're like, and all of a sudden, a day into the travels, like, where's Jesus at? I don't know. It must be back there with Uncle Ted or, you know, Aunt Wilma or whatever. And they just keep going. They realize, well, we haven't seen him for a couple days. Where do you think he is? And they finally search their caravan and have to go back and find him. And he was at the temple, and they said, "Why did you do this to us?" And I'm always thinking, like, whenever I hear that, I'm thinking, you lost your kid, and it's his fault? Why did you do this to us? But anyway, Mary and Joseph, they're just like us, right? And he says, "Hey, didn't you realize that I'd be about my Father's business. Be about the kingdom, the kingdom's work. When we pray the prayer, Thy kingdom come, we're doing so many things in that prayer, and I hope that we can understand it. I don't even feel like I can highlight a lot of it, but I just want to touch on a few things. One is we're not only asking for the kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven, but we're actually asking for God to intervene and for God to step in, and we're giving Him permission. God, You bring Your reign and rule into not only my life, but also this community's life, this world's existence. You, God, come into this place right here and now. God, invade us with Your kingdom, Your kingdom ways. And that's what so much it gets into a deeper place, because when we pray that prayer, I'm actually also aligning my heart with His ways. I'm saying, God, I align myself with Your ways, because Your ways are so much different than my ways or man's ways at that. So I need to, and I am saying yes to Your ways, to Your kingdom dynamics, which are so different and so far above anything that we come up with. Any of our ways or man's ways are so far beneath and below. They're so worldly minded. And it's coming to grips with that. Like, yeah, this stuff of this earth and this stuff of this world is about this stuff of this earth and this world. God's kingdom is so deeper and richer and far above all of that. Now, it doesn't mean we just cross it off and say, well, let's just say to heck with it all. Let's just go, drink some Kool-Aid and go up to God's kingdom altogether. No, that's not at all what He's saying. He's saying, get in line with what God is doing. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So in other words, bring it here now. Bring it here now. Not only bring it here now, but Jesus, come and come quickly. Jesus, come and come quickly. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah, because that's where it all gets fixed. I love sharing that. And I don't care who I'm with. I don't care what the person believes. When we start talking about the world being a disaster and a mess, and it's unfixable, and I don't know where we're going to go from here, and it's just going to get worse and worse. And I share it every time. Every time I get into that conversation, my statement is, only until Jesus returns will this all be made right. Sometimes I get some funny looks, and that's okay. That's the truth. Amen? His will be done here and now as it is in the above and the beyond. Thy will be done. I like to read this. This is great. It's a prayer that we are asking. We're saying, God, You are all wise. You are all good. You are all knowing. And You are all powerful. And it's Your holy will that I'm asking to be done in my life and in this world. Perfectly here as it's perfectly done in heaven. Amen? And make it happen in me. Make it happen in me. And it's involving, and you guys know I preach about this one a lot, is the submission of my will to His will. Because when we submit my will to His will, we're doing something that, there's two things that I believe are happening. We're humbly, I believe, professing that I need help. I need help. And I need You, God, to intervene. Give me direction. Give me some clues. Give me some revelation. Give me the thoughts and the ideas. And give me the Spirit to do what it is You'd have me to do. To be who You have me to be. So that's when we're asking His will to be done, we're submitting to Him being Lord over my life. Amen? And that's a good thing. That's a good place to be. It's a really good place to be. I want to encourage you, I want to really strongly encourage you to open the Word of God. Open the Word of God as much as you possibly can, because it's in His Word that's enlightened by the Holy Spirit that I believe our hearts may know who God is and His will for our lives. In His Word, you will find the answers to who God is and His will for your lives. 100% of the time, you will find who God is, His heartbeat, and His will for your life in His Word. Open the Word of God. Dig into the Word of God. Get hungry for the Word of God. I'm going to tell you, I encourage you, because it's such a strong thing that when we, the hungrier we get for God's Word, the more we'll want it, the more we'll desire it, seek it, need it, so much so that we will actually feel as Jesus felt and say, it's the bread of life. Thy Word is the bread of life. Man does not live on just food alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. It becomes our food, our source, our nourishment, our life source. We love, right, boys? Every day we get, when we're on our way to school, we listen to a chapter a day. And we were listening to Judges. We just finished that up. That was fun. It was fun at first, and then it got a little weird. You know, Judges gets a little weird the last few chapters, and it's okay. So we had some good conversations about how God operates and what God expects of us and how God moves in our world and in our lives. And it was every day, every time we have those conversations, it's been really nice, because I see even these two young men that are in our home getting a little hungry. Like, I want to do that. I want some of that. I want to listen to it. You know, so much so that I don't have to, come on, guys, we got to do this. They actually plug my system into my truck and they get it going to where it's supposed to go. And they're the ones that actually set it up so that they can listen to it. That's a hunger for God's Word that only takes place when you actually taste it. Hello? Can I just, I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to do that in each of us. The more we taste the goodness of God, of His Word, the more we'll want it. If you never taste it, you'll never know that it's really good for you. Or even worse, if you're just a Sunday cracker, then you'll be starved. Where you only crack open your Bible on Sunday mornings. That wasn't a racist statement. It wasn't. Guess it could have been. You'll be malnourished and you'll be starving if you're just a Sunday cracker. You guys never heard that one? Oh, man. I should. Really? Oh, I thought I've said that one before. Okay. I thought that was an oldie. Oh, okay. Yeah. Kind of like, you know, 7 days without reading the Bible makes 1 week. Like, that's an old one too. I think I read that in the 80s. Oh my gosh, you guys are really, the 80s stuff is coming back. Oh man. Oh, easily entertained here, I guess, huh? Let's move on. We got a wedding to do, right? Amen. Where am I at? Okay. I wrote this down, so I should read it. It said, it's a part of the prayer. It says, I submit to your will for my life, Father God, and desperately need you, Holy Spirit, to reveal your will. And as I open your word, show me your heart that I may know you and trust you with all of my heart. I like that. I don't know why that's like, it sounded really good and clicky to me when I wrote it. It says, as I open your word, show me your heart that I may know you and trust you with all of my heart. Amen. And then he said, and then the next aspect of the prayer is this, which is, give us today our daily bread. And it's really I think this is a simple place to stay, is to understand, realize, and really get it's God's perfect provision. God is perfect in providing. Giving God His proper place in my life as my provider keeps me humble and thankful. Amen? Amen. You may see, here's the thing is God knows, He knows your needs even before you do, right? We know that. Jesus actually said that. Not only does he know what you need before you do, he actually, if you can actually accept this, he knows what's better for you, better than you do. Right? Yes. Come on, guys. We know this. So when we come to this place of saying, God, give me what I need, give me my daily needs, it's that place that we need to remain stuck in, if you will, stuck in thanking God for his provision. I need to stand firm on saying, God, it's you. Thank you, God, for all you provide. Thank you, God, for all that you give. Thank you that you give me all that's good, that all things good come from you. That thankfulness is so key to a healthy relationship, especially with God and with man. Always remind me, Father God, and this is, I want you to, these are the words I wrote down, so I want you to hear them because I think this is a, it's a place I think we need to go. Always remind me, however you need to. Think about that. Always remind me, however you need to, that all things good come from you and to thank you for them. Do you hear what I'm, do you hear what you're asking God to do? Do whatever it takes to remind me that it's all from you. Can you do that? No, I'm serious. Maybe you need to stop and think about it. When you say, God, do whatever it takes to keep me humble and thankful, he might have to show you a difficult way. He might have to use some difficult situations so that your eyes are opened. Because here's the thing. Not the thing, but here's a thing. There's a verse in the Bible, it's in Proverbs, and it says, pride goes before a fall. Have I shared this before with you guys, what the Lord really said in this one? The Holy Spirit really highlighted that one time in my life. And he said it this way. He said, that's not sometimes or just maybe. Pride always, always will bring a fall. Pride will always and every time cause you to fall. It's not just like, well, maybe I'll get away with it this time. No, you don't. We don't. Be thankful. Stay humble. Say, God, it's you that are, it is, you are, is my provider. Amen. Water break. Yeah. Amen. Every time. Robin just said something that's really good. You know, if you want to know about like the Israel's history and the kings and stuff, Robin's got a really good handle on it. And it's true. That will always put the Israelites, it puts every nation into bondage is when we start getting a little bit arrogant, thinking maybe, hey, look what we can do. Look what we have done. We can do this. Amen. And they turned to other nations for help instead of God. Yikes. Just yikes. Because where are we now? Next issue. Forgive us as we forgive others. Forgive us as we forgive others. It's a healthy place of relationship. Forgiveness. This is something I wrote down. It says, His grace, listen to this, His grace is given to us to flow through us in forgiveness. His grace is given to us to flow through us in forgiveness. And it's almost like there's this strong implication that Jesus says, forgive us our debts as we have forgiven others. You know, it's not, Jesus didn't say, and help us forgive others. There's this implication that saying, as we are forgiven, we are forgiving. That's a result of being forgiven, is to be forgiving. It's the fruit of an apple tree is an apple. Right? The fruit of forgiveness and knowing grace and living in grace is giving grace and walking in forgiveness. Being forgiven is to forgive. Amen? Amen. So much so that this is, remember I talked about this prayer, the lens of this prayer is about removing the stuff that gets in the way of an intimate and a right relationship with God and man. Well, what will hinder every relationship? Every relationship. Bitterness, unforgiveness, sour face, you know, I'm just like, I'm just mad, revenge. They need to know how much they hurt me, and they need to pay for it. Right? Keep going like that, and I'm going to tell you, you'll be a bitter old man or woman. Don't go that way. Don't go that direction. It's not a part of the Christian life. It's not a part of a Holy Spirit-filled life. Spirit-filled life is full of forgiveness. Amen? I'll get angry about it if you need me to. How about this? Father, I am a sinner, and I need to be forgiven every day. I can't live and flourish with guilt. I will die if I have to bear my guilt every day. I have no desire to hold any grudge. I know I don't deserve forgiveness, and so I have no right to withhold it from anyone. Amen. I let go of all offenses against me. God, have mercy upon me and forgive me, and let me live in freedom of your love. Amen. That's good. Lead us not into temptation. Here I'm going to spend just a minute or two because it's an interesting part of this prayer that it words a little bit odd, doesn't it? Lead us not into temptation. How many of you struggle with just even the theological aspect of that? God, do not lead us into temptation. Does anybody struggle with that? A little bit. You guys with me? Okay, so you're just totally okay with this asking God, do not lead me into temptation. Hello? Blake's over there laughing because he knows where I'm going to go. But it's an interesting thing. Yes, Tina? Can we lead ourselves? Huh? Okay, do you realize you just took the Bible, that's what most of us do. We take the Bible, we flip it upside down so it fits my model of my thoughts of what God is and not reading it as it is. Do you know who just did that? Just this last year, do you know who just did that? Pope Francis said, we're going to change the wording of that prayer and say, because, and here was his logic, Pope Francis, who is now the acting pope of the Catholic Church, said, we're going to change this prayer because the logic of it doesn't make sense to me. Because a good father would never lead his son into temptation. So how he says is how we're going to word this prayer now, we're going to change the Bible, say how we're going to word it now is God, keep me from falling into temptation. No, do you hear where I'm going with this? It's a little bit twisty. But we need to understand that this is God saying this, and this is how God said it. And I want us to be honest with ourselves and say, I have a theological issue with that prayer. Yes. Does a good Godfather lead his children into temptation? Really? Really? Okay, turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 4, starting in verse 1 and 2. Huh?
It was the Holy Spirit that led Jesus.
Oh, so the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness to be what?
Tempted.
Well, hey, we're just way better than Jesus. No, what is our struggle with this? You're waiting for an answer. Huh? 4. here's the thing that we have a tendency to do, and I know this is just, I think it's a fun, gritty part of the message, is we have a tendency to make the Bible fit into what how I can understand it, so that it can make sense to me, and I can like, oh, that fits with how I think God is. The dilemma with that is that when we start doing that, there is no place to stop doing that. And when we start doing that even more and so, we come to this place of say, well, I need the Bible to fit what I want God to fit like. But let me take it even a little deeper. I'll take that very thought even a little deeper. What Pope Francis did, and this breaks my heart and saddens me a lot. It crushes it. I think it does something that I have a really difficult time with. I'm not bashing Pope Francis, but I'm getting us to the place of understanding what actually happened. Because when we use that logic, well, God would not do this to a son. Think about that for just 3 seconds. What did God do to his son? What did God do to his son? He turned his back on him and said, you carry the sin of the world. Carry the sin of the world. Take it to the cross. God did that with his very own son. So that logic to me is got to go out the window to say this is what it is. To say, well, God wouldn't do this as a loving... How many times do you hear and I hear, well, if God really loved us, he wouldn't do this and he wouldn't do that. That's the logic. Why did God do this to me? If God really loved me, why would he allow this? He wouldn't allow this if God really loved me. Do you see where that logic doesn't stop and there's no stopping place for it? And if this is about knowing and having an intimate relationship with God and man, we got to come to the real grips with it that God will and he does put anything into play to get you and I right with him. So much so, all the way to the place of placing his very own son on a cross to die for you and I so that you and I can have right relationship with God. Amen? And God is a good father above and beyond which you can and I can understand. We must take the word of God as the word of God. And so this prayer of lead me not into temptation, it comes down to even a deeper place inside of me saying, God, I need you who understands me, who knows me and knows my weaknesses, knows my failures, knows my faults, and still loves me to step in and be a part of and be an integral part, a vital part, a necessary part of my walk with you. I struggle with sin, and I need your help, and I need you, God, Father. Father God, I know that I'm forgiven and by the blood of Jesus, but I want to and I desire to walk holy and to walk right before God and man. And I can't do it on my own. I need you. I need you. Desperately, I need you to lead me correctly, lead me rightly. Don't lead me in a way that will cause me to stumble. To me, that's like such a humble place of childlike faith. To say, God, I need you to hold my hand while I walk this walk. And lead me on a path that will keep me walking straight and keep me walking correctly. To me, that's what a loving father does. Walks with a child with his hand. And yes, they'll stumble, and you're there to pick them up. You're there to scrape off the bruises and clean out the wounds. That's what a loving father does. And that's who he is. So all of these things, when we break down this prayer, is getting rid of the stuff that hinders an intimate, right, loving, correct relationship with God and man. All these parts of the prayer. And I know there's so many deeper aspects to them. I know that. And I know, and I'm hoping and praying that the Holy Spirit is speaking other stuff into your life, into your mind and your heart in regards to this prayer. Amen. I hope so and I pray so. Because see, here the thing is that sooner or later, life will overwhelm you and I. With pressures, with problems, with trials, with situations, with difficulties. Physical issues. Call them health, you can call it whatever. Provisions. That's where we tap in and say, God, give us what we need. Relational issues. Whether it be from our doing or somebody else's doing. You know, all of us were born into dysfunctional families. Do you realize that? No, we all were. And the stuff that was embedded in us is the stuff of this life and world. We need help. Bottom line, we need help. I need help. And yes, some of us like me are born into a little, you know, more dysfunctional, but that's just means I need a little more help. Right? Right, Kevin? Yeah. And that's okay. And that's really good to need help. Help to forgive. Help to work out issues. We need God's guidance. We need His help. Then we got our own selves in the mix. Our own bondages, sins, issues. We need God to help us get free from those. Amen? And what we need to see is that we have a Father. We have a Father who is a thousand times better than you could even ask or imagine or even know. Because I think some of us had some good dads. But He's 1,000 times better than the best dad on planet Earth. 1,000 times better than the best dad on planet Earth. He cares about every single aspect of your life. He wants relationship with you. He desires, He seeks it. He's given up His very own Son so He can have it. Get all this stuff out of the way. Just get it out of the way. Part of the prayer is just, God, get the stuff out of the way that gets in my way of having relationship with You. He's calling us. He's calling us to call Him the I Am. I think it all kind of starts there and ends there. God is the I Am. God, You are my I Am. And I know some of us are in the room this means like, I haven't a clue as to what that means. Ask God the Holy Spirit to show you. To show you even this week, Him being the I Am in your life. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we just thank You for Your love for us. Oh, we're so... I just even standing here this morning, I'm just... just humbly thankful that You've called me Your child, that You call me Your friend, and You ask me to serve You, and You want to commune and relate and have fellowship with me, with each and every one of us in this room. So Father, we're just so thankful that You have given us Jesus, that You have given us an opportunity for life and not death, that You have given us, You've laid it out for us, You've laid it out for us, a model prayer that we can follow, we could track, we could take to deep levels, we could take and implement every single part of this prayer at any given time of our day, whether our eyes are open or we're driving down the road. Just inspire within us this urge to just commune and talk and be open and honest with you. We're so thankful, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. And we ask that you use us as you see fit. Thank you for being our friend. Oh, thank you for being our father, our husband, our friend, our lover. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Amen.